You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
At a bar? I wasn't suggesting anytime soon. I know you're with your friend. I meant my house. Probably after 8. Okay. If you don't wanna, that's fine. No pressure. I will. A drink? What do you drink? Are you out now? Sorry. I'll drink whiskey if that's what you're having. Haha. Send me a pic of you two. I figured. My shot is tight. Shit. Sure you can handle this. Please. Bite me. Stop saying fresh things. Why?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Detective. There may have been a page that is missing in that document, or it's not comporting with the...
Oh, you're right. I did accidentally turn the page.
No problem.
I apologize.
I think starting it, I usually drink whatever the person with me is having.
I usually drink whatever the person with me is having. Oh, okay. I don't take selfies either. I don't really even know how. Whatever. I wanted to see your smile. Ugh, I hate having my photo taken. Weak. Sorry, I am a very particular person. What's that mean? Okay, never mind. Go enjoy your friend. Go clean your house, will ya? My shit is spotless. Haha, I figured. My shot is tight. Shit. Sure you can handle this. Please, bite me. Stop saying fresh things. Why? Are those statements tempting? Nope. Oh, which statements? Perhaps you should drive directly to Mansfield. You said bite me, like 3 times. Okay. 8:30-ish is too late? For what? Drink. No, why? Are we not meeting up? You can stop over for a drink. Balls in your court. Are you gonna give me the address? Yeah, we don't have to meet up if you don't want to, but I'm leaving town now. I am up for a drink. Okay, should I drive around? Should I drive around W. Roxbury? I assume it says yelling your name, question mark. It's cut off. Are you going to give me the address? Yeah. We don't have to meet up if you don't want to, but I'm leaving town now. All right, it repeats itself. I apologize. So, okay, should I drive around W. Roxbury yelling your name? Haha, no. Where are you now? Newbury. Do you really want to come over? Only if you want me to. Can you take charge? I thought we already settled this. Haha. Okay, well, I am in my car and now getting on the highway. This feels like I am forcing you. Not at all. I am game. Okay, well, I'd like to know where the hell I'm going, Pike or 93. You just want to meet me at the crib, or do you want to come over? Pike, I would daub say. You decide. I don't know either. Whatever you want. I don't either. Place so wherever you're comfortable. You know anyone in West Rocks? I don't think so. Ha ha ha. Then just stop by for a drink. Up to you. No pressure. Just give me an address. I hate texting while driving. Bryant Road. Text me when close. Okay. I will show you where to print. Park. That's W. Rocks? It's not coming up. Yeah, then put Boston in. Bryant Drive, West Roxbury Township, New Jersey, searching for a friend. Then add your phone contacts so you can search for their address on maps. It's a screenshot sent through. First one, What app do you use? Turn around on the street. Park at the top of the street across from the red minivan. LMK when you're here. Here. Wednesday, January 19th, 11:13 p.m. Home. Alive? Cool. Thoughts? Maybes. You? What? You asked my thoughts. You didn't answer. I don't know my thoughts. Okay, I think I get it. You have any? Thursday, January 20th, 12:27 p.m. Hi, how was your day? Good, yours? I'm exhausted. Yeah, that makes two of us. But I want a drink. Really? I'll give you Hardy's digits. Who? Hardy from 98.5 Midday Show. He hangs out at the Currens sometime. He's a spokesperson for Recovery Center of America. Haha, I don't have a problem. Kidding, I know. Good riddance. Haha, stranger. Hey, I was at Hilly all weekend. Have not heard from you. Haha, I apologize. Sunday, January 23rd, 9:40 p.m. Phone works. Thought you were all set. With talking? No. You sure? Friday, 11:32 p.m. Well. Saturday, 11:54 a.m. John died.
All right, lights, please. Lectures were right at 1 o'clock, so we
can take our lunch, please. Court, all rise for the jury.
I'd like to see counsel just a second about scheduling, please.
Goodbye.
Why don't you come in?
All right.
You are unmuted.
All right, Mr. Jackson, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sergeant, you had an opportunity, obviously, you read them, so now you've familiarized yourself with that series of text messages that you received from Brian Higgins, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you the same question again. Would you consider those text messages as you reviewed them when you received them from Brian Higgins as being flirtatious or romantic in nature?
I would not categorize them to that extent. Certain parts of it might be, but the total conversation, if you want my opinion, I can provide you with it.
Was there some flirtation in the text messages that you noted?
There are terms that I used. You're hot, witty, stuff like that. You know, talking about banging and hooking up.
What word would you use to describe them if not flirtatious?
The totality of the conversation?
Sure. Let's start there.
My opinion is that it's a angry girlfriend trying to set up a hookup to her John.
To her jump?
To her John.
To her John.
Yeah.
Would you consider the responses from Brian Higgins to be flirtatious in nature?
There are conversation parts that are enticing, maybe a little of advances, but the totality of, you know, to put a label on the whole thing, my opinion is that she's trying to get revenge.
Get revenge?
Yes, get revenge.
On John?
Yeah.
For what happened in... on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
Okay. When you say revenge, you don't mean physical revenge.
Well, emotional revenge. She's trying to hook up with Higgins and then hurt John by cheating on him.
And in fact, you did know that John O'Keefe was not privy to these sex messages, right?
Objection.
I'll allow that. Do you know that?
I do not, Your Honor, no.
He's not on these texts, is he?
I don't know if their accounts are synced at this point. I don't know if he's seen them. I don't know.
He's not. His phone. You know what his phone number is. He does got his phone, right?
We do have his device, yes.
Do you have any evidence that his account was somehow suddenly know that he's synced with what Karen Greasy knows?
Not from his device, no, but okay. He could have seen the text messages.
Okay, so there's no evidence that he was synced. His account was synced with anything, correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
There's
your
no evidence.
You were facing the other way, I didn't hear.
There's no evidence that his account was synced with anything.
Not his device that we have, no.
And you don't have, as you sit here, you don't have any evidence whatsoever that he saw any of those text messages, correct?
We don't have that, but I do not know.
Okay, so as you sit here, my question is very simple. Do you have evidence, affirmative evidence, that John O'Keefe ever saw these text messages?
I do not have evidence that he saw them,
okay.
No.
So, would you agree that the text messages show a romantic interest, for whatever motivation, a romantic interest from Brian Higgins toward Ms. Reed?
You have to ask that differently.
In your mind, as you read the text messages, did you determine in your head that there was a romantic interest by Brian Higgins toward Karen Reed?
In my mind, I saw the text messages for what they were, initiated by Karen Reed, and began a text message conversation with Brian Higgins.
And responsive, sorry, Brian Higgins was responsive to those text messages, correct?
They did communicate back and forth.
He was responsive to the overtures that Ms. Reed made toward him, correct?
Suggestions.
Let's get together for a drink, come over to my house, I'll come over to your house, things of that nature. Those went back and forth between the two, correct?
Yes, they went back and forth. Yes.
And did you determine that there was an interest by Brian Higgins in Karen Reed?
I read that he repeatedly asked her what's her plan, what's her goal, what's her interest, what's her intent.
Did that show you an interest on his part in her?
I think at one point he said he was confused, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or what's the term he used? He was unsure what she wanted.
He called her hot.
He did, yes.
He called her witty.
Right from the rip, yes.
He said he wanted to spend time with her.
Spend time, yes, yeah.
He was interested in going over to her house.
Yes.
He was interested in her possibly coming over to his house.
Yes.
He told her that he thought she was hot, his words, mm-hmm. from the jump, correct?
From the jump, yep.
How did you interpret that?
From the jump, I would interpret it as right from the beginning, maybe the first time they saw each other. Laid eyes on each other. I mean.
As a matter of fact, he basically said that, didn't he? In the text message, from the first time I saw you, I thought you were hot.
Yes.
Okay. He constantly was using phrases to use your words, phrases interested in knowing how she felt about him. Correct?
Gotcha.
sustained you to ask it differently, Mr. Jones.
Did you interpret any of his text messages as Brian Higgins being interested in knowing how she felt, what she was thinking about him?
Objection.
Ask it again.
When you first saw these text messages and you reviewed them, did you interpret those text messages in your mind? That's what I'm interested in your mind. As Brian Higgins being interested in knowing how Karen Reed felt about him.
I believe his statement indicates that he was interested in seeing what her interest was, what her intention were, and questioning the fact that she's dating, live-in boyfriend with his buddy.
He used the word ghost several times, correct?
I do recall reading the word ghost.
How did you interpret that word?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
I interpreted ghost in the common slang terminology as to abandon conversation, stop communicating.
He indicated that two different times in the text string, correct?
I know I read the text messages, but reading them out loud to a room full of people, I might not have remembered how many times the term ghost came through.
Fair enough.
I was concentrating more on the reading, not on the comprehension of each word.
Fair enough. But you did note that he used that term in his text messages to her, correct?
I think I recall at least once that the term ghost was present in the communication.
Did you interpret that, I'm looking for what was in your mind, did you interpret that, the use of that word by Brian Higgins, as showing some level of frustration at her abandonment of the conversation?
No, I did not.
No. Not at all?
No.
Have you ever heard the phrase, you ghosted me?
Yes.
How do you interpret that phrase, just in general?
I've heard it communicated between other people. I've never used the term ghosted. I think it's a little after my time in communicating with others, but I take it as, you stopped responding to my text messages.
Do you take that, do you interpret that, or did you interpret that as a positive or a negative comment? You ghosted me.
I interpret it as a matter of fact, like you stopped talking to me. I never thought about it in a positive or negative connotation. I never gave it any thought.
As you sit here now, if you do give it thought, would you put a positive or a negative connotation on the phrase, you ghosted me?
Objection.
Sustained.
You're aware that, based on the text messages that we just saw, there was a series of text messages that went back and forth starting in mid-January and basically ending around January 23rd, correct?
This chain of text messages began in January 12th and ended January 29th.
Right. I'm going to get to the 29th. But the back and forth ended on January 23rd, did it not?
I don't recall specifically. I can leaf through it and tell you what it is. I know I read the dates out loud, and again, I was concentrating on reading.
Do you have the document in front of you?
I do.
Could you turn to the last page?
Yes, sir.
I believe it's the last page. It may be the second to the last page or something. Do you see an entry on January 23rd, 2022, a text message from Brian Higgins, thought you were all set.
Yes.
And Ms. Reed responded with talking? Question mark. No. Period. Correct?
That is her response.
Mr. Higgins then responds, with four M's behind the H. Correct?
That's correct.
And then he responds again. By the way, did Ms. Reed respond to the hmm?
No, she did not.
And then he follows up with, you sure, with no punctuation. Correct?
That's correct.
Did Ms. Reed respond to you're sure?
She did not.
The next text is on January 29th at 11:32 p.m., correct? I'm sorry, January 28th at 11:32 p.m. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Is that from Ms. Reed or from Mr. Higgins?
At 11:32 p.m. on Friday, January 28th, it is from Mr. Higgins.
That's all I ask. And now, can you tell the jurors what that text is? And then the next text immediately after it.
Well.
So between January 23rd and January 28th, would you describe Ms. Reed's side of the conversation as having ghosted Mr. Higgins?
No, she initiates the conversation. You had me read the second text message in the chain.
Between January 23rd, when that last text message was sent by Brian Higgins, until January 28th at 11:32, would you describe that as Ms. Reed having ghosted Mr. Higgins for those 5 days?
Strictly looking at the text message communications and not knowing whether they...
Correct. I'm not asking you to speculate. I know there's other stuff you want to say. I'm asking you just to read, but just to answer the question I'm asking. Based on the text that are in front of you, Sergeant Buchanan, does it appear that Ms. Reed ghosted, as you define the term, Mr. Higgins, from January 23rd until January 28th?
One could read into that in that manner, yeah.
And then on January 28th, when Brian Higgins sends, well, did Ms. Reed respond?
No, she did not. They were together at the same location.
Did she respond to the text?
On that day?
Correct.
Not on a text message, no.
You said they were together. That means that Brian Higgins was together in the same room with Ms. Reed when he sent his text, correct?
Yes.
And she ignored it, didn't she?
Okay. Sustained.
You also received from Mr. Higgins certain text messages between him, Mr. Higgins, and John O'Keefe himself, correct?
Yes, we did.
And one of those text messages, one of the last text messages that they exchanged was, as a matter of fact, the last text message that was exchanged was Brian Higgins at 12:20 a.m. on January 29th, 2022, texting Mr. O'Keefe, you coming here, with 3 question marks, correct?
I would have to take a look at the document. I don't have a memory of it specifically. I know I reviewed it, but I don't have a memory of the time and content.
May I approach you on?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, no worries. based on this extraction, I cannot definitively say that this text message was sent on January 29th because of the file source time and, you know, and the JPEG being so small. I can't testify to that, sir.
May I approach?
Yes.
Your Honor, Mr. Brennan has kindly offered to stipulate that the "you coming here" text was sent. I would offer the following stipulation: that "you coming here" text was sent on January 29th at 12:20 a.m. from Brian Higgins to John O'Keefe's phone. Quote, "you coming here," 3 question marks following it.
What was the time?
I'm good. 12:20 a.m. May we enter that stipulation with the court's permission?
Sure. So, jurors, you've heard that the lawyers agree that that fact is true.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sergeant. So, you were aware of the timeline on or about January 29th when, first of all, Karen Reed had not responded to a text message from January 23rd throughout January 28th and into January 29th. Sorry, throughout January 28th by 11:32 p.m. or so. She had just not responded, correct?
So the text message that she sent to Brian Higgins, well, the last time she sent a text message was on the 23rd.
And he responded with several text messages to which she did not respond on January 23rd, correct?
I believe she sent 2 and he sent 3, okay. I believe.
So the answer is yes. There was a text message that she sent, I'm sorry, that he sent to which she did not respond. Is that right? On the 23rd.
He was the last one to send a text message on the 23rd.
That was following multiple text messages back and forth between the two of them spanning a couple of weeks, correct?
Yes.
Then, on January 28th, 2022, Brian Higgins is at the Waterfall Bar and Grill after 11:30 p.m., correct?
He was.
Karen Reed then walks into that same Waterfall Bar and Grill, accompanied by her boyfriend, John O'Keefe, correct?
They did.
Brian Higgins then texted Karen Reed, who's standing in the room, well, correct?
Correct.
Karen Reed ignored that text, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Karen Reed did not respond to that text.
There's no text.
Brian Higgins then, a little less than an hour later, texts John directly, "you coming here?" with 3 question marks, correct?
Correct, it's been stipulated.
That is an accurate timeline of the events that we've just talked about, correct?
Yes, sir.
You're also aware of a call. Your investigation revealed a call between Brian Higgins and Brian Albert at 2:22 a.m. on the 29th, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did your investigation reveal a call between between Brian Higgins and Brian Albert at 2:22 a.m.?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Okay. Sure.
Sergeant Buchanek, did you become aware during the course of your investigation, then I'll narrow the time frame, during the course of your investigation that there were calls between Brian Higgins and Brian Albert at approximately 2:22 a.m. on the 29th?
During the course of my investigation, I was not aware of that. If you have a document that I can see, I can tell you if I've ever seen it before.
Did you seek to secure Brian Albert's cell phone to determine what calls he did and didn't make on January 29th or January 28th?
No, we did not.
Okay. Would, in your experience, would a phone extraction, a cell phone extraction of Brian Albert's phone, have revealed calls made and received in the time frame that we're talking about, the 28th and the 29th of January 2022?
If a phone is extracted, the records of phone calls being made and received would show those records.
You did receive information from Brian Higgins' phone, specifically the texts that he claimed he pulled off of his phone and gave to you, correct?
We received text messages that I read today that Brian Higgins provided from his phone.
Did you seek to secure his actual phone for a forensic download or forensic mirror image to get the actual calls made and received or text messages made and received from his phone?
No, we did not.
At some point, this is just yes or no, at some point, did you become aware of a call between Brian Higgins and Brian Albert at 2:22 a.m. on the night of on the morning of the 29th? Just yes or no?
No.
As you sit here today, this is new information to you. Let me rephrase that. This is unknown information to you. You do not have any information about that?
Objection.
Sustained. You need a time frame, Mr. Jeff.
I realize that, Judge. That's why I'm asking it this way. As you sit here, are you aware of a phone call between Brian Albert and Brian Higgins at 2:22 a.m. on January 29th, 2022?
Look, you just shared that with me. I have no memory or record of seeing that it actually took place. I do not know.
Okay, so you've never heard that before. That was what I was getting to. You've never heard that before.
No.
Okay. You indicated that you did not seek to secure Brian Albert's phone to do a phone extraction at any time, correct?
We did not try to get Brian Albert's phone for any reason whatsoever.
Did you become aware during the course of your investigation that Brian Albert destroyed his phone?
I'd like to be seen. Objection.
Yeah. Jurors, disregard that question. Move it aside now, please.
May I inquire?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you become aware of a call that was made by Brian Higgins at 1:35 a.m. while at Canton Police Department?
I am not aware of that, no.
So you did nothing in terms of investigating any phone call that Brian Higgins did or didn't make while at Canton PD on the night or the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022?
We never sought to get Brian Higgins' phone. He was not looked at as a individual that we would need to get his information for any reason at that point.
Even after you received and read all of those text messages between him and Karen Reed?
Correct.
And even after you became aware of the timeline that we just walked through,
starting on January 23rd, going all the way into January 28th and into January 29th. You did nothing to investigate that.
We had the information that we had. We did not need to get his phone.
And the information that you had came from Brian Higgins himself, not from a forensic extraction, correct?
The extraction that Brian Higgins provided was a forensics extraction of his communications with Mr. O'Keefe and Karen Reed. We had Mr. O'Keefe's phone and we had Karen Reed's phone, so we can verify and confirm that those text message communications were accurate, unredacted, not deleted, and were true representation of what their communications consisted of.
And that was a representation made by whom?
The totality of it.
That was a representation made by whom? A person made that representation to you that it was fair and accurate. Who made that representation?
It wasn't a person. It was the extractions between the three devices.
Well, an extraction that you were handed on a device by someone, correct?
No, I said that we had all three devices, and as I told Mr. Higgins in our interview together, I said, Brian, we have those two devices.
Meaning if you and Karen's.
Correct.
Okay.
If there's anything deleted or altered in any way, we will have proof of it. So please make sure that you understand the magnitude of this situation. We're investigating a homicide. It needs to be accurate, and it was.
And you trusted that coming from Brian Higgins rather than simply getting an extraction from his phone, correct?
Yes. I trusted him, yes, because we trust and verify. And after verifying, the extractions were correct.
And following that verification of the text messages, did that raise any suspicion in your mind about any possible motives Brian Higgins may have relative to John O'Keefe?
Suspicions of motives? Is that your question?
Correct.
No, the evidence spoke for itself. The honesty, cooperation of all the witnesses and corroborating, supporting facts spoke for themselves. So I was not suspicious of his motives. The conversation was documented over text message. Spoke for itself.
Supporting documentation, including a text message. The text message at 2:20 a.m., just minutes before John O'Keefe arrived at 34 Fairview, from Brian Higgins, right? 12:20 a.m. That's one of the factors, correct?
That's one of the factors that is part of the entire investigation, yes.
One of the other factors is John O'Keefe's body was found in the lawn at 34 Fairview, just feet, from the front door, side door, and the garage door, correct?
That is when Mr. O'Keefe was found, on the left side of the lawn, yes.
And one of the factors was you originally said that it appeared that it may be an incident involving a cocktail glass to the face. Initially, please.
Based on verbal reports, initially, that was a possibility. Again, it was before we spoke to
before a lot of other things happened, but initially, that's what I'm asking about.
Yes, initially, it was a possibility.
And when you saw John O'Keefe at the hospital, a big contusion above his right eye, correct?
That is not correct.
A big A just above his right eye?
That is not correct.
You did not see that?
His eyelids were swollen, not above his eye. And it wasn't a contusion.
Two different paramedics said that they saw what they described as an A above his right eye. Well, let me ask you differently. Did you speak to any of the paramedics?
Yes.
Did they describe an A above his right eye?
I'd have to see a report to actually be described as an egg above his right eye.
Did you notice a laceration at his right eye?
His right eyelid did have a tiny, tiny laceration.
Do you see a small laceration? Nostril on his nose?
A tiny, tiny laceration, yes.
You noted that he didn't have any broken bones or fractures other than to his skull?
I did not know that. I didn't conduct x-rays or conduct the autopsy. I'm not a medical professional.
You didn't ask the doctors at the time you went and visited him and saw him in the hospital whether or not he had broken bones or fractures?
I don't believe they reported that.
And the another factor that you considered was the fact that in the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022, around 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., there were no taillight pieces found at that location. Zero. Did you consider that?
At what point?
On January 29th, when, say, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., did you consider that?
Once we learned that there was damage to the defendant's right rear taillight, I could only consider at that point because I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
We don't know what we don't know. We work with the evidence that's presented and we develop the investigation.
And the evidence that was presented at that time, Sergeant, was a snowblower, a leaf blower was used to search the area, the exact area that you've described for this jury, as being the area around fire hydrant flagpole where John's body was, and no taillight material was found at all in the first searches. You're aware of that, yes or no?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you're also aware that no taillight material was found until after that SUV was in Massachusetts State Police custody and sitting at the Sally Port in Kent. Correct?
I believe the first taillight piece was found after it was in our custody. I don't know the exact time. I'd have to see it.
When you talked to Brian Albert, I'm sorry, when you talked to Brian Higgins, did you ask Brian Higgins about potentially seeing John's body when he left 34 Fairview and headed over to Canton PD?
Yes, I did.
You knew that at that time, say 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, there was about 0.2 inches of dusting of snow, correct? Very light.
At that point in time, there was a coating. I cannot speak to the amount of snow that was on the ground.
But Brian Higgins told you in that interview that he didn't see the body because it was hidden by a snowbank.
Objection.
Did he say that to you?
I don't have a memory of that, Your Honor.
Yes.
Take a look at page 3 of the highlighted portion, if you would mind.
Approach?
Does that refresh your recollection that Brian Higgins said something about a snowbank at the time when he left 34 Fairview?
He stated the reason he did not pay attention to the grass is he was concerned with his snowplow on his vehicle and was not paying attention to anything over the snowbank, just with the plow in front of him as he operated the vehicle.
And of course, you knew at the time, as a detective and an investigator, you knew at the time that with a dusting of snow, there is no snowbank, right?
He mentioned plowing the driveway for the Alberts when he arrived. So there might have been coating and he was just plowing it and then creating a line. I cannot speak to how much snow was actually being plowed with the dusting that was on the ground. So there might have been a small snowbank. Again, he was referencing it. He was not paying attention to anything behind the snowbank, so behind it.
Snowbank being in the yard. Actually, he said the lawn.
Yeah, he's.
He talked about the snowbank being in the lawn, not the driveway, right? That's how he described it.
He said he was not paying attention anything past the snowbank being the lawn.
And did not pay too much attention to the lawn area behind the snowbank, correct?
Right, off to that area. Right.
Did that raise any suspicions in your mind that Brian Higgins may have been being less than truthful with you?
No.
Getting back to the Waterfall Bar and Grill, you were also aware that Brian Albert was at the Waterfall, correct?
At one point, yes, we learned that.
And you knew that Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were friends with each other. Is that right?
We learned that as well, yes.
You've already indicated that you did not seek Brian Higgins' phone records. I may have asked you this, and if I did, I apologize. Did you seek Brian Albert's phone records or an extraction from his phone?
No, we did not.
Did you look at the entirety of the Waterfall video? Did you review the entirety of the Waterfall video when you first obtained it? Or have you looked at it since?
I have at one point or another viewed the entire video, yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, this has already been marked as evidence, but I cannot read it. It's not my notes. It's exhibit 22, I'm told.
Okay.
May we exhibit that for the, or present that for the jurors?
Yes.
And I'm asked to advance this to runtime 8:30 to about 11:08, so a couple of minutes with the court's permission.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and play that. Can we pause it briefly, Mr. Wolk?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Can you please, if you can, point for the jurors whether or not you see Brian Higgins in that video?
I'll use the screen in front of me for initial indication. I believe that is Brian Higgins right there.
Can you do me a favor, just so everybody has a perspective, can you also point to him there? Okay.
There you go, right there. I believe that is Brian Higgins.
Okay, do you see Brian Albert in that video?
I can't tell you exactly. Maybe if you run it a little bit longer, or zoom it in, I could possibly tell you, but from right here, right now, I cannot.
Sergeant, why don't we play this for a couple of seconds, and if you don't mind, if you get to a point where you recognize the person that you know is Brian Albert, could you just tell me to stop and I'll pause it?
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and play it with the court's permission.
Sure. Thank you.
Can you pause it?
Stop it.
Go ahead, Sergeant.
Brian Albert is the individual right there. Right there.
Can you describe what the Brian Albert and, by the way, for the record, Your Honor, the witnesses indicated the person toward the left, right under the 2-9 on the Chiron on top, the 29?
Yes.
Can you describe what you see the two individuals, Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, doing in this scene?
It looks like they are facing each other, possibly squaring off in a stance.
Can we go ahead and play this forward, please? Can we pause it? Sergeant, did you see either of the two men or both of them squaring off in what you would consider to be a fighting stance?
I guess it could be considered that. I would look more like a roughhousing. Right. It's a couple of buddies messing around.
Not suggesting they were actually fighting, but a fighting stance.
Yeah, no, they were not. They were not fighting. No.
Go ahead and play it.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.